الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. أما بعد، continue reading in the chapter. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى، باب الذكر عقب الصلاة. باب الذكر عقب الصلاة. The chapter with regards to the dhikr that comes at the end of the prayer, meaning after the taslim and after the prayer is finished, and after the prayer is finished in entirety. And we have seen likewise in our previous class a number of benefits, from the dhikr in general, but specifically after the prayer. Who can remind us of some of those benefits? One of them is that a person in doing that, he will be following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is from the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would sit and he would make dhikr. He would make the dhikr, the adhkar, that have come, yani after the prayer. He would not get up and immediately pray the non-obligatory prayer, nor would he lean over and greet others and shake their hands, or nor would he stand up and leave abruptly and quickly. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather, after he finished the prayer, he would sit there and he would remain in his place of prayer, and he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the adhkar. So the believer who does this, he is upon the sunnah in this manner. Yani he's upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, upon following the Messenger. Naam, another benefit from the adhkar after the salah. There was a statement of Aisha.
It's a sign that the person loves Allah.
It's a sign that the believer has ragba in his heart. A sign that he has ragba and sincere faith and desire to be obedient. And the fact that he will finish the obligation and then he will remain. He will not hastily leave, but rather he will remain longer. So this is a sign that he has desire in his heart. He has a ragba, a desire and a concern and a care for the obedience of Allah and seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This remaining, this dhikr in this manner, this is an indication of that. One after you, maybe next, inshallah.
The way to know that they were out of the salah was to make dhikr Allah.
This was a benefit that came yani from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that they used to know that this was the prayer, how the prayer was finished. This was how the prayer was finished. Sah. The adhkar, the fawaid that we mentioned specifically from the benefit of this. And what does a believer benefit from this? About it. Aha, min alamat qubul as-salah. It's a sign that the prayer was accepted. Because from the sign that the worship is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person, he will be given success to continue and to follow up that worship with another act of worship. That a person who performs an action of goodness for the sake of Allah, Allah ash-shakur subhanahu wa ta'ala yaftahu lahu baban min rahmatihi wa baban min al-hasanat. Yani that Allah will open the gateway for him. If he does a good deed, then Allah, he would accept that and in the acceptance of Allah, and Allah, that he appreciate that from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shukur, he appreciates and he shows thanks and in a manner befitting his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the effects of that is that he will open the gateway of more good. So the sign that a person, he does an action of worship and his action of worship is accepted, is that he follows that up with another action of worship. He follows that up with another good deed. Naam. It's a means to bring about good deeds, any more good deeds, hasanat, ziyad min al hasanat, and also it's a means to remove the sins. to purify the sins. Naam. There was a statement of Aisha radiallahu anha that's very beneficial. Who remembers that one? That's definitely a benefit. Naam. Tajdeed al-Iman. This is one of the greatest benefits. Tajdeed al-Iman. That it's a means to revive the faith and to renew the faith. You need to strengthen the faith and to make the faith, the Iman, and the Tawheed and the heart of a person strong and deeply rooted. Strong and deeply rooted. You need by making these adhkar and remembering them. Naam.
I wrote it in my notes.
Uh-huh. يعني هي تقول رضي الله عنها that the أذكار بعد الصلوات المكتوبة كمسح المرآة بعد سقارها كمسح المرآة بعد سقارها the أذكار after the obligatory prayer is like wiping the mirror after polishing it and shining it a mirror, the mirror, the glass that a person he looks into and he sees his reflection. It's called مرآة, the mirror. A person, whenever he washes that, he will clean it and he will polish it very well. And then whenever he's done, he wipes it down. The final wipe, this one is what removes the last bit of dust and specks. And so this is touching up the shining and the purification that already occurred. So a person, he will polish and he will wash the mirror. And then after that, he will wipe it one final time until it's clear, until it's clean, until it's very beautiful and beneficial. Like this, the adhkar. So the prayer is a means to purify the heart and to purify the soul. And the adhkar after that is like wiping that off the final time. Yani to remove any of the impurities that may remain. And from there we see in the great benefit of that likewise is that this is a rectification of deficiencies that have occurred. A rectification of the deficiencies that have occurred in the prayer. So these are some of the benefits that were mentioned. And these are great benefits. Great benefits. And with regards to the dhikr. So this is all a reason to encourage for that a person to encourage a person that he will make his adhkar. And if that's the case, if he's encouraged to do that, then that means that he will be encouraged to learn them. Because you cannot do something if you do not know it. So therefore a believer he will strive to learn these adhkar. Another issue had come in our previous class, which was the hukum, the ruling. The ruling of these adhkar after the obligatory prayer. What is the ruling? Sunnah mu'akkada. Ahsan. Sunnah mu'akkada. A highly emphasized sunnah. So if a person were to leave them, he's not sinning. But the person who prayed the obligatory prayer and then he left them, the person who prayed the obligatory prayer and then he left these adhkar, he's not sinning. But the one who performed the obligatory prayer and he made the adhkar, then his prayer is more complete and more perfect. So therefore, this is also, and from the benefits of the adhkar, is that's a perfection of the prayer. It's a perfection and completion of the prayer. And in an even greater and a better manner. So it's sunnah mu'akkada, highly emphasized. In our previous class, we had the discussion about which of these is the first one to begin with. Which of the adhkar is the first to begin with? And there are a number of adhkar that have come after the obligatory prayer, but which one of them is the first to begin with? If a person, he wanted to truly follow the sunnah, in this regards, there is a dhikr that is the first, huh?
Astaghfirullah.
Uh-huh. Allahumma. Anta. Tabarakta. Dal Jalali wa Likram. Naam. This is the dhikr that has come in the hadith of Thawban. And likewise in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Both of them are in Sahih Muslim. Thawban, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا انصرف من صلاته أي إذا سلم من صلاته استغفر ثلاثا. يعني قال أستغفر الله. Like this. I seek, O Allah, I ask you for to forgive me. O Allah, I ask you to forgive me. And we have seen likewise, what is al-istighfar? What is al-istighfar? طلب المغفرة. طلب المغفرة. What is al-maghfirah? As-satr, ahsant, al-maghfira, the origin of this meaning, yani from al-ghafr. It means as-satr, to cover something. So here it means as-satr wal-afu, wa'adam al-mu'akhadha, that Allah Azza wa Jal, yani lil-dhanb, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He will cover the sin. Yani the person, he will not be exposed. He will cover the sin, and He will pardon it and forgive it, and He will not take the person to account for that. So this is what a person is seeking whenever he says, astaghfirullah. He's seeking for his sins to be covered and forgiven and pardoned, and that he will not be held accountable for them. But there's a benefit here to begin in this manner right after the prayer. What is that? And he will make his prayer and he will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Astaghfirullah. 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 Immediately. And we know that istighfar and talib al-maghfirah is very beneficial and from the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. But here specifically after the prayer, what is the relationship or the munasabah? The deficiencies that he had in his prayer. He's seeking forgiveness for that. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he's the most perfect and complete in the worship of Allah's servitude. So this is also an indication that a believer, he will look at his deeds as if they're nothing. And he will look at his Lord as if He's the greatest. Allahu Akbar. Yani he would magnify and glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know himself and from himself that no matter how hard he strives, he cannot fulfill the right of Allah. And Allah, He's greater than that. And the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. And even if a person, he had fulfilled the obligation in the best manner, then he knows that it's a favor from Allah and a blessing from Allah. And he is the slave of Allah, and he's humble before Allah. So therefore, he'll show thanks. And from that is to continue to seek forgiveness and to consider one's actions to be light and to be little. To consider one's actions to be light and to be little. And in this manner, likewise, a person he's safe from? The one who thinks like this, and he understands this, he's safe from? Al-ujub, being self-amazed. Somebody maybe who will stand and pray, and then he'll be amazed with his actions. Oh, I prayed in jama'ah, I prayed this and I prayed that, I recited this, or I stood like this, or like this, and he'll become self-amazed with his actions. But the one who prays and then after that seeks forgiveness for the deficiency and the weakness that he had in his prayer, then he will remember this. He will remember this affair that he's deficient and he's weak. And therefore, it'll be a means to keep him safe, that he will not become amazed with his actions. Rather, he will know that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the greatest. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who favored him. Favored him with prayer and with worship and allowed him to complete this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Like this. So therefore he'll be safe, inshaAllah, from an ujub. So by seeking forgiveness here in this manner, and he's seeking forgiveness for the deficiencies that occurred in the prayer. Because our prayer is exposed to al-wasawis. Wasawis is shaytan, to the whispers of the devil. And also al-khawatir, al-nafsiyah. Yani the thoughts that come to one's mind. Sometimes a person, the whispers of shaitan will come to him in the prayer. Another time his soul will deceive him and trick him, and he will wander off and become negligent and forget what he's thinking about, forget what he's saying, and forget what he's doing even sometimes, and the likes like this. He'll become heedless, or sometimes he'll go in and go out, any of his prayer, any consciousness, realizing yani that he's actually in an act of worship. So therefore the prayer is exposed to all of this. And all of us are exposed to this in our prayer. So therefore to finish the prayer in this manner and to say, Astaghfirullah, 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 it has a great benefit and a great yani munasibah. It's very suitable to be here. After that, what does he say? Allahumma, anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. What does that mean? Allahumma anta as-salam. Oh, what does Allahumma mean? Ya Allah. Oh Allah. What does that mean? Oh Allah. The one who says that, what is he doing? What does he want? Why did he say that? Huh? Yadu. Yadu. He's calling. He's calling on Allah. Ya Allah. Yani he needs something. He wants something. He went to Allah to get it. Allahumma. That's what it means. The origin is Ya Allah, but the Ya is deleted and the meme took its place. That's what the people of knowledge, they say. So Allahumma, it means Ya Allah. So this is what when he's called, now he's supplicating, now he's calling, now he's invoking Allah. And this is the one who has the right to be invoked. This is the one who has the right to be called on. He is the one who's worthy of worship. calling on the graves and calling on the awliya, this is falsehood, and these things do not have the right. Calling on the prophets, calling on Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, calling on Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, is all falsehood, and they're not worthy of worship. But rather the creator of Muhammad, the creator of Isa alayhi salam, the creator of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the one who's worthy of invocation, and he's the one who's worthy to be called upon and supplicated to, because he's the one who responds from his names and Mujib. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mujibu da'awat. He's the one who responds. So then you say, Allahumma, now you're calling on Allah. So therefore, this is a reminder for us that after the prayer, we don't just say this statement. These statements, they have meanings. These statements, they have great meanings for the one who reflects upon them at the time his tongue says them. We know that the dhikr it can occur in more than one way. And the dhikr can occur in three ways. We mentioned that briefly, or alluded to it. With the tongue only, and with the heart only, or with the tongue and the heart. With the tongue and the heart. So the lowest level of the dhikr is with the tongue. The lowest level of the dhikr is with the tongue. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this one has hardly any benefit, if any benefit at all. To just remember the Allah, to make the adhkar, and the likes with the tongue only, and without the presence of the heart. The second level, which is greater than that, rather much greater than that, is to remember Allah with the heart alone. You need to remember the bounties of Allah, the blessings of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the majesty of Allah, the commandments of Allah, the prohibitions of Allah with the heart. This is a great act of worship. But the best any means of dhikr, the worship of dhikr itself is to remember Allah with the heart and the tongue at the same time. As that they coincide. So even if a person is reflecting and he's seen the greatness of the creation, and then from then he's pondering now over the creation, now what does he say with his tongue? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now his tongue and his heart is coinciding. And or he will see the greatness in his own creation. He will look at his child and remember that the child was nothing. Or then it was in the womb of the wife. And he will say, La ilaha illallah. So the tongue now coincides with the heart. The tongue now coincides with the heart. He will think about his situation, and he will see people in hardship and difficulty and poverty, and then he will look at his security and safety and the wealth that he has in his family and his loved ones and himself, and he will say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Like this, he will look at the people around, the people outside, and they're involved in fornication, and they're involved in alcohol and drug dealing, or they're involved in worse than that, calling on Jesus and claiming that he's the son of Allah. And a believer, he will say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He will see that and hate that and detest that and glorify and praise Allah above that. Allah is higher than that. Subhanallah. Allah is free from all of that and greater than all of that. And His glory is greater than all of that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like this, so the heart and the tongue will coincide. The heart and the tongue will coincide. This is what is needed to truly benefit from the adhkar after the salah. In this manner, those benefits that preceded, like tajdeedul iman and like wiping off the mirror after it's being polished, all of this will occur now. Whenever a person, he says these things and he understands what he's saying. And this is a beautiful way, even for a brother or sister who does not know the Arabic language. They will begin with the likes of these affairs. They will remember these brief supplications, and they will research the meaning of those words. And this is a beautiful place to begin learning the Arabic language, learning vocabulary. As-salam, what does that mean? Anta, what does that mean? You need to search for these, to figure this out, to learn this, to seek knowledge until you find out what it means. Like this. From the best way is to ask those who know. And alhamdulillah, in this masjid, there are a number of brothers who can inform you of that. There are a number of brothers who can inform you of the meaning of these adhkar. If you do not know yourself, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, amongst us, we have brothers who know these affairs by the grace and the blessing of Allah. So take advantage of that. Allahumma anta as-salam. Oh Allah, you are as-salam. What does that mean? As-salam? Sahb. Before that, Allahumma anta as-salam. As-salam is a name from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he's, oh Allah, you are as-salam. Oh Allah, you are as-salam. Oh Allah, you are as-salam. Yani your name is as-salam. And from your attribute, as-salama. And from your attribute and character, as-salama. Allah is flawless. He's flawless. He's perfect. That's what this means. He has no defects, no deficiencies. Allahumma anta as-salam. Yani that you are flawless and you have no deficiencies. As-salama, it means safety. It means to be safe, linguistically. As-salama, من الشيء يعني to be safe from that, to be free from that. Somebody who was involved in something like a dangerous wreck, and then he did not get hurt whatsoever. يعني he left that event with salama. يعني salama, he was safe, he was secure. يعني he was safe from that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has no deficiency whatsoever. Not in his that, not in his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in his life, not in his knowledge, not in his wisdom. And his knowledge is not exposed to forgetfulness or ignorance. And his wisdom is not exposed to any deficiency whatsoever. And likewise his mercy, and likewise his power and his authority, and likewise his life. He's not hungry, he's not thirsty, he's not tired, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his he does not oppress anybody, and his actions are based upon wisdom, not upon foolishness or based upon whims and the likes like this. Whether it's all justice, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all according to wisdom, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So and he has salama in his essence and in his attributes and in his actions. He's free of every defect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise he is the one who gives salama, and he is the one who gives peace, and he is the one who gives security, and he is the one who saves the people from hardship and difficulty, and from defects, and from fault, and from error. It comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. If a person is safe in his religion, it's because Allah salamahu. It's because Allah Azza wa Jal, he gave him salama, and saved him from faults and misunderstandings in his religion. If his prayer is safe from deficiency, if his prayer is safe from deficiency and being rejected, it is Allah who gave that to him and provided that for him. So now we see the wisdom here. Allahumma anta salam wa minka as-salam. And from you is as-salam. From you is safety and security. And you need from every defect and every fault and every hardship and every difficulty. So now we see the benefit of saying this after the prayer. What is that? An indication that a person is hoping for his prayer to be safe, to be accepted. Yani, Allahumma anta salam wa minka as-salam. Yani, Allahumma sallim salati. From being rejected. Oh Allah, keep my prayer safe. Oh Allah, accept my prayer. Do not reject it. Whatever deficiency there was in, astaghfirullah. I seek your forgiveness. I seek your pardon. I know I have deficiency. I know that you deserve better than and are greater than that. But this is what I presented. And you are salam. And from you salam. And from you salam. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. What does dhul jalali wal ikram mean? Al-Jalal, yani min al-Ijlal, the one who has nobility and dignity and honor and majesty, yani, and meaning he is the one who deserves to be venerated and to be respected and to be loved, yani, because of his greatness and because of his honor, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ikram, likewise similar and dignity and also honor and majesty and glory, but also he is the one who bestows that. So he's the one who bestows that. He has the trait of generosity and kindness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has the trait of dignity and nobility. All of this in a manner befitting his majesty, not like that of the creation whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he bestows that on whom he wills from his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kareem, and he bestows blessings, and he gives to whom he wills. So therefore this also has the meaning of hamd and praising Allah. Praising Allah and glorifying Him with love and veneration. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that we should hold fast to this in our supplication. That we should use this word here and this term, this name of Allah Azza wa Jal, to call on Him, Allah, in the supplication. Alidhu bi ya dhal jalali wal ikram. And to say this often. When you call on Allah Azza wa Jal and you need something, begin like this, Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Call on Him in this manner, mentioning His beautiful names and attributes, and then asking for what you desire. Because He is the one who has dignity and honor and respect, and He is the one who bestows and He gives, yani, to His slaves, those who ask Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is the supplication that one should begin with. And from the evidence of that is the wording that has come in Sahih Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سلم لم يقعد إلا مقدار ما يقول. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the prayer, the obligatory prayer, if he gave the salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not remain in the position that he is, except for long enough to say. And he will lead the prayer. He's leading the prayers, meaning that he will not remain facing the Qibla except for the amount to say. And then she mentioned this statement here. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wa ikram. Ya dhal jalali wa ikram. That he would not remain there except long enough to say this. Meaning after he said that, he would turn around and face the people. After he made salam, he would not remain in that position except long enough to say this. And then he would turn around and face the people. So from this we see a number of things. From them, the first thing that one will say, the first supplication. The first supplication that one will say after he makes the salam immediately. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. And to become accustomed to saying this with the tongue only. To say it with the heart. To say it with the heart. To reflect upon that. And to say that with sincerity. Wholeheartedly. Truthfully. Yani, like we say in America, like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. Yani, that you believe in it. You say the words and you believe in it. This will have a great effect. This will have a great effect, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on the life of a believer. These adhkar, they have a great effect. And just a reminder, no doubt the words of Allah are the greatest words. And they have the greatest effect. But after that, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're from revelation likewise. And this is likewise revelation. These adhkar are revelation. They're revealed to the Prophet. The sunnah is revelation. Just as the Quran is revelation. No doubt the Quran has a higher status and rank with regards to the fact that it's the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He spoke them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the blessing that has, along with it, yani, the blessing of the Quran and the likes. But after that, yani, and barakah is the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in any case, both of them are revelation, and both of them are legislation, and both of them are established, yani, by way of them, the rulings in al-Islam. The rulings in al-Islam. Yani, the point is that these are great words. These are great words. The other benefit from this, we see that the imam, it's legislated for him to remain in that position until he says this statement. And he will make this statement here and then turn around. And then turn around. So he will not turn around before that. And he will not stay facing the Qibla with his back to the people in that manner and leave them in that way. Likewise. But rather he will stay long enough to make this supplication here, and then he will turn around. And then he will turn around. If some need arises for him to remain there for some time, then he will do that. But the origin is this is the case. The origin is this is the case. He will make the supplication and then he will turn around. From here, there's another issue that people have not, as they mentioned, and that is with regards to the ma'moom. And this is whenever the imam turns around. So when will the ma'moom get up? And they say after the insiraf al-imam. Yani the insiraf al-imam, yani in the text has come with more than one meaning. Yani sometimes insiraf al-imam, it means when he makes the salam. And sometimes insiraf al-imam, it means when he turns around and faces the people. When he turns around and faces the people. The people of knowledge, they mention that what is best is that the believer, he will, the one who's ma'moom. The one who's ma'moom. Who is that? The one who's praying behind him, ahsant. He will remain there until the imam turns around. Until the imam turns around. After the imam turns around, the ma'moom is free. The ma'moom is free. After the imam turns around, the ma'moom is free. And in reality, after the imam, he makes the salam, the ma'moom, he can stand up. But it's best to not stand up until at least he turns around. It's best to not stand up until at least he turns around. Why? Chapter proceeded. Huh? Sujood al-sahw. Maybe the imam, he's going to make sujood al-sahw. Maybe the imam, he's going to make sujood al-sahw. Maybe he forgot something, and he had saved the sujood of forgetfulness until after salam. Maybe he's going to make sujood al-sahw. So if he is there, and the person, he stands up real fast, and the imam makes sujood al-sahw, he's going to have to sit back down, or come back to his spot, and the likes like this, to follow his imam in that. To follow his imam in that. So therefore, any for this reason, one should not stand up at least until the imam turns around. At least until the imam turns around. After that, it's allowed for the ma'moom to stand up and to leave whenever he likes. The imam, he's allowed to stay as long as he likes. And he will stay there as long as he likes. And whoever's behind him, he's allowed and he's free to leave whenever he likes, once the imam turns around. But it's best and preferred for the ma'mum to not stand up until the imam stands up. It's best and preferred and more beloved to the Salaf, and they mentioned this, and it's come from Az-Zuhri, yani Muhammad ibn Muslim, Az-Zuhri ibn Shihab, Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he died in the year 124. And also it has come from Hassan al-Basri, he died in the year 110. And also from Qatada, he died in the year 117. And they're all from the Tabi'een. They're all from the Tabi'een, different levels, but all from the Tabi'een. They mentioned this, that it's more preferred for them and beloved for them, for the ma'mum, to stay until the imam, till the imam stands up. Till the imam stands up. But if he has a need and he stood up before that, there's no blame on him. If he has a need and he stood up and he left, and he before that he has no blame on him. He has no blame on him. And Allah knows best. The author, he says, عن وراد مولى المغيرة ابن شعبة رحمه الله ورضي الله عنه قال أملى علي المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه في كتاب إلى معاوية رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. The author, he mentioned a narration of Warrad. Warrad, the Mawla al-Mughira. Mawla al-Mughira, al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba, radiyallahu anhu, his tarjamah has proceeded, radiyallahu anhu, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from those who were brave, and those who were courageous and strong, radiyallahu anhu. It's mentioned here, Warrad is the Mawla. The Mawla, yani the freed slave. The freed slave of Mughira. He was also the katib. He was the one who would write. He was the scribe. He would write the affairs that Al-Mughira, he needed to write. Al-Mughira at one time, he was the Amir of Al-Kufa, radiyallahu anhu. So this is the case. He Warrad, he's saying that Mughira, amla alayya. Amla alayya al-Mughira. Al-Imla is dictation. Al-Imla is dictation. Whenever a person, he will say something, and another person will write it down. He would dictate it to him. Yumli alayhi. And he will speak words to a person in order for that person to write them down behind him. To write those words down behind him. So Warrad, he's saying that Al-Mughira, he did this for him. Fi kitabin ila Muawiyah. In a book or in a letter that he's writing to Muawiyah. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he wrote to Mughira. And Muawiyah was in Sham, in Dimashq radiallahu anhu. He wrote to Mughira and requesting for him to send him some of the narrations and some of the benefits that he heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what he sent him. He said, كَنَ يَقُولُ فِي دُبَرِ كُلِ الصَّلَاةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, فِي دُبَرِ كُلِ الصَّلَاةِ. At the end of every salat, maktuba. فِي دُبَرِ كُلِ صَلَاةٍ maktuba. At the end of every obligatory prayer. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. لا شريك له. He has no partner. He has no associate whatsoever. له الملك وله الحمد. That the dominion and the kingdom, the authority, all of it belongs to him alone. And all of the praise and thanks belong to him alone. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he has the ability to do all things. اللهم أو الله لا مانع لما أعطيت. There's no one who can prohibit that which you have given. And no one can prohibit that which you have given or that which you will give. That which you will give, no one can prohibit that. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ. And no one can give that which you have prohibited. No one can give anything that which you have prohibited. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. And a person who has wealth and prosperity or he has position and rank, that will not benefit him against you. None of that will benefit him against you. So this is the narration here. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. نعم. نعم. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وحده لا شريك له. وحده يعني alone with no partners. Alone لا شريك له with no partners. With no partners. نعم. جزاك الله خيرا. And he is معاوية ابن أبي سفيان. معاوية ابن أبي سفيان. رضي الله عنهما. And Abu Sufyan, his name is Sakhr ibn Harb. Sakhr ibn Harb, al-Umawi, al-Qurashi, radiyallahu عنه. معاوية his kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. Abu Abdurrahman Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. He has a brother, his name is Yazid. Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan. And he has a sister, and her name is Habiba. Habiba, mashallah. Habiba, what is her name? Ramla. Bint Abi Sufyan. Ramla bint Abi Sufyan. Who is she? Radiallahu anha. She is the mother of the believers. And she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that means if she's the mother of the believers, then he is the khal. Khal al-mu'minin. This has become the people of knowledge, they mentioned this. Yani, so Muawiyah radiallahu anha, his kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. And his father, Abu Sufyan. And his brother Yazid. Abu Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam in the year of Umrah al-Qadha. Umrah al-Qadha, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to make up the Umrah that he was blocked from during the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And the Umrah al-Qadha was in the seventh year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah, he accepted Islam at this time, radiallahu anhu, but he hid his Islam from his people. And his father, Abu Sufyan, is known that he was from the staunchest of enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the leader of Quraysh. He was the leader of Quraysh and his time, and he, specifically after Badr, yani whenever many of the greatest of Quraysh they were killed, and Abu Sufyan, he became the leader, and he was also the leader of the army, and he was leading yani wars against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the year of the conquest of Mecca, he accepted Islam, and likewise the brother of Muawiyah, Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, both of them, they accepted Islam in that year. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he treated them well, kindly. And he, they were from al-mu'allafa qulubuhum. And those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was kind to them and nice to them, bringing them closer and closer to Islam. And the Islam of both of them became good. And Abu Sufyan, he mentioned, and he asked for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make him a leader to fight the disbelievers as he used to fight the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that, and Islam was good. His Islam was good, radiallahu anhum. And likewise, both of his sons. And he asked for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make Muawiyah a scribe for him. And he was a scribe for him. So also from the virtues of Muawiyah, he used to write the revelation. And he used to also write letters for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people. To the people. So this is yani Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned about him that he was the leader of Sham in the time of Umar, after his brother. First, his brother Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, he was in charge. Yani after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after they conquered Sham, that he was in charge. He was the Amir, the leader of Sham, at the command of Umar. Umar said his brother Yazid, radiallahu anhuma, yani as the Amir over Sham. And then after that, Muawiyah, he became the Amir, and he remained there until yani he became the Khalifa in the year 41 after the death of Ali radiallahu anhu, and after Hassan radiallahu anhu, he had backed away from the Khilafah. Muawiyah, he had taken that, and the people had gave allegiance to him in the year 41, and he was after that the Khalifa of the Muslims and the first king of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Khilafatul Nabuwa 30 sana. That the Khilafah, the prophetic Khilafah, yani of the Al-Khulafa al-Rashidun, 30 years. That's exactly, precisely, yani the time that occurred after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Muawiyah, he took the authority. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْمُلْكِ. And after that, there's mulk, yani kingdom. And so he's the first king. He's the first king of Al-Islam, radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 60. He died in the year 60 in Dimashq. It's been mentioned from Al-Muwaffaq ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi in his book, Lum'at al-I'tiqad. Lum'atu al-I'tiqad. This is a book about creed. A book about creed and about belief. Inside this book of creed, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, وَمُعَوِيَةُ خَالُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَكَاتِبُ وَحْيِ اللَّهِ وأحد خلفاء المسلمين رضي الله رضي الله عنهم. That Muawiyah, he is the uncle of the believers. Khal, but the Khal is the uncle from the mother's side. So how is that? Again, because his sister is the wife of the Prophet, and she is the mother of the believers. So if that's the case, then he is the uncle, the Khal of the believers. It's been mentioned in the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah that he mentioned the Sharih, the one who explained Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah. Who wrote Aqidah Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah? Huh? Abu Ja'far? Al-Tahawi, Al-Hanafi. Naam. When did he die? 321, in the year 321. MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. Naam, he died in the year 321. He says, Awwalu muluki al-Muslimin Muawiyah. Awwalu muluk al-Muslimin Muawiyah. The first of the kings of the believers is Muawiyah. Wa huwa khayrul muluk. And he's the best of, wa huwa khayrul muluk al-Muslimin. And he's the best of the kings. And also at Dhahabi, he mentioned about him, radiyallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'minina, Malikul Islam. That he is the leader of the believers, meaning he was the Khalifa, radiyallahu anhu, and he is the king of al-Islam. He's the king of al-Islam. Yani, and the people of Nar, as I mentioned about Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, likewise, that he is Satru al-Sahaba, Wabab al-Sahaba. And he's Satru al-Sahaba. He is the veil of the companions. Meaning that those who try to find fault with him, they're pulling down the veil, and their intent is to reach the companions. And to speak ill about all of them. And the means to speak ill about the companions, many of them have taken Muawiyah as the gateway. So they, in reality, they want to find fault with the companions. So what is the avenue that they find? How do they get in that door? They find fault with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. They find fault with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And from the deceptive and trickery or tricky ways that they have mentioned some statements that they have preceded about him. Huh? All of this is true. But we mentioned something specifically in classes that preceded. That Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, he died in the year 100. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a great imam and khalifa likewise. From Bani Umayyah. Rahimahullah. But they say about him, some people they try to say about him, because he was so righteous, and no doubt about that, that they say he's the fifth of the Khulafa. Meaning they prefer him over Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, and Muawiyah has companionship, and he believed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet used to say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and Muawiyah would be behind him, and he would say, radiallahu anhu, hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.